All right, seal number one, the Holy Spirit will show me how to keep my spirit, soul, and body properly connected to heaven. Pray about that a minute. Because all three need to stay connected, you see. All three need to be connected. We'll look at that night. All three need to be connected. That's when you're going to start winning in life. When you know how to connect your spirit, soul, and body to heaven. The Holy Spirit will show me how to keep my spirit, soul, and body properly connected to heaven. Wow. Shutolo basata. Think about it. Pray about it and think about it. In Jesus' name. Now you may think you know how to do that. I'm going to deal with some things tonight to show you, but you may think you know how to do that, to keep your spirit, your soul, and your body properly connected to heaven. See, only one third of you are saved. Your soul and your body is not saved. You can so easily be disconnected and don't know it. And most Christians go through their whole life never understanding their total being. They go to church, they sing, they pray, but they don't know how to keep their spirit, soul, and heaven, their body connected to heaven. That's why we have so much sickness, disease. Number two, as I obey in applying revelation in my life, I will walk in perpetual victory at all times. Pray about that. Never out of victory, always in victory. Never out of victory, always in victory. Perpetual victory. Oh, my candelabra. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, perpetual victory. It never stops. No matter what attack you and what you go through, no matter what the circumstances are, you listen to me? You never look to your outside for victory. Never go by your senses. They don't understand the battle. I never thought I would see this day to know how to connect my senses to my spirit. But it's in the scripture. It's over in Hebrews 5. It talks about exercise your senses so you know the difference between evil and good. There's a divine alignment that you can get in the total man. That's what I'm talking about. The total man. Live a supernatural life in your total man. Inward man and the outward man. Both living supernaturally. Every word you speak counts. You heard what I said? Number three, the reality of God my Father, Jesus my Lord, and the Holy Spirit my Comforter will release divine power in my total man. Pray about that a minute. Thank you. In Jesus' name, we're praying. I'll cut you short. Sit down, because I want to say something come up in my spirit. It is spiritual legal to be totally blessed. Write that down. It is spiritual legal to be totally blessed. To be blessed in your spirit, blessed in your mind, your soul, and blessed in your body. It's totally legal, spiritually legal. The Father set it up that you could be blessed in your total man. That's why I want to talk to you about living a supernatural life in your total man. Living supernaturally in your spirit, which your spirit is already supernatural. It's already full in connection with God, and nobody can do nothing about that. But your soul and your body, you have something to do in order to put it in a position of living supernatural. Supernatural living in a total man. Spirit, soul, and body. Total man is spirit, soul, and body. Everybody got that? Yes, sir. Your spirit is saved, but your soul is not. Now, your soul is in your inner recesses, inner part of you, and if you don't watch it, you think it's your spirit. We're divided right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, the Apostle Paul exhorted this church before we get to the man text there in 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24. But he said a lot of things prior to getting there to get them to understand that God cannot and will not do nothing for you by himself. I know that ain't over too good, you know. Because y'all be sending the Lord on errands, you know, and go take care of this, Lord. Go take care of that. I'm going to sit down and watch TV while you take care of it. Hallelujah. No, God is not going to do nothing for you by himself. Now, why, listen to this. Listen to this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'm just going to start in the middle of it, the 16th verse, prior to getting to this 23rd verse. We're going to the 23rd verse, but I want to show you a few things he said to the saints, what they need to do. He said, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. I mean, the 17th verse, 18th verse, in everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 19th verse, he said, quench not the spirit. He's not talking to himself. God talking to the church now. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast to what is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. Are you doing all that? When the last time you rejoiced? Let's go ahead and twist your arm to make it raise your hand. You know, when the last time you just rejoice? Just thank God. Thank God. See, if you look at you such a way, you're not going to rejoice. If Paul and Silas in 16th chapter of Acts locked in the Philippian jail, if they were to look at their circumstances, they wouldn't have praised him. But because they praised him, what happened? Their circumstances changed. Are you following me? So when you're dealing with something, rejoice. You know, when I first read that in James 1, I read that, I said, this is the most asinine thing I ever heard in my life. Count it all joy when you fall in various trials, tests, and temptation. I said, count what joy? See, not knowing, not being a biblical student, I'm fresh out the street. I'm reading this. Count it all joy and you got trouble. This don't even make no sense. We used to fight when you get in trouble. This don't even make no sense. Joy or what? But he was talking in different dimension. I didn't know it. See, I'm never in one place. I'm never just here on earth. So I'm not vulnerable to what I just see. You listening? To what I just feel. I know all circumstances are temporary. And God and I can change them. You understand? Yeah, you have to never just live down here on earth and try to go through the regular routines. Because you're not adapted to that. You're a child of God. You got greater power in you. And don't matter, look like you're not going to make it. You know, it doesn't matter how it look. It's what you know. Okay. Now, we read those things, and you get down to this 23rd verse, and it seemed like God going to do this by himself, but he not. It says, come on, read the 23rd verse with me. Ready? Go ahead, read. Now, notice that verse began with God, and the very God of peace. Now, notice verse 24. Read verse 24. Who also will do it. Now, when I was meditating this verse and talking to the Lord about it, who also will do it, the Lord said, not by myself. I'm going to have some cooperation out of them for that to happen. Why? Well, Hebrews 11 and 6. Look at it. Without faith, see, can't happen. It can't happen. Nothing can happen supernaturally without faith. And matter of fact, it's supernatural faith. I think what we have done is trying to use our faith, but in Romans 12:3, that measure of faith that was given you was supernatural, complete, and I've taught it, but actually it don't need to grow. It's already full blown. You got to grow to know how to use it. The faith not the problem, you the problem. So you have to be a student. You have to be a student. Every man has the same measure. That's why he didn't say a measure. Look at Romans 12:3. He said the measure. Now, that is, oh Lord, the Holy Spirit taking a whole new route. That is the measure of faith is Christ's faith. You've been given the same faith that Jesus had. Now you see, look at, I'm going to prove that. Look in Galatians 2:20. See, when he says there in that text, he said, you live by the faith of the Son of God. Same faith. We've studied. See, the measure of faith is supernatural faith. So it's not an effortless faith. It's not a faith that you can put out there and it come back void. No, no, no. See, a lot of time we use the illustration. I've done it too. Father Mahan, another one, about a chair. You know, you got a chair there and you just sit in it. That's not the faith we're talking about. That's human faith. You can look out your eye and make sure you got all four legs on that chair. You check it out. But we're talking about something you can't see. Faith deal with stuff you can't see and make you see it. Yes, yes. See? So then Mark 11:22 now. They say, have faith in God. That's what it said. Mark 11:22. Huh? Have faith in God. You know, we knock around and have the faith of God, have the God kind of faith. Well, it's talking, actually God gave us his faith. Wait, write that down in your spirit. God gave us his faith. So you begin to think that I need stronger faith. If I ever get like the apostle, if I ever get like the woman who always talking about the word, if ever, no, you got it. You just got to know how to apply it, use it. I know it's almost insult to your intelligence for the way your life going to say this to you. But you have the same faith Jesus had. And you have the same faith, the faith that God gives you was his faith. When you realize, when you're dealing with something, that actually when you operate in faith, it's God operated. So say this, I have supernatural faith.
I have supernatural faith
on the inside of me.
On the inside of me.
Same faith.
Same faith
that Jesus had. Now that's powerful within itself, isn't it? Now, I've taught all the lesson about strong faith, little faith. Now, I've taught all the lesson, but as I grow, I'm understanding that everybody in this room got equal amount of faith. You just got to develop it and learn how to use it. But it's there. It's dynamic in its working. It's powerful. It cannot be denied. You think somebody else, I'm going to use the word, gooder than you. No, you saved, aren't you? So if you got a few flags hanging out, hanging red, go ahead on and follow God and we'll get the flags out. But don't think nobody no better than you. God's love is unconditional. Now, some of the church don't want us to tell you this because they want to be the spiritual one. But God's love is unconditional. He loves all of us the same. Now, when it says in verse 23, let's go back to verse 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That word W-H-O-L-L-Y means complete in all respect. Another word that good for you to know, all together. Now, sanctified here mean to purify eternally, internally, I-N-T-R-N-A-L-L-Y, by renewing of the soul, by renewing of the soul. Turn with me to John chapter 5 a minute, John chapter 5. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
John chapter 5. Now, even though in dealing with these Jews who was full of religion, this scripture still, if you rightly divide the word of God, and we're going to talk about that in a few minutes, this scripture still depicts something that the church needs to know. And I think what we did, we came out of a dry age or a lack of word age, and we came over into the word, and I think we didn't take enough time to settle down to let that word fully become a reality to us, that we can start knocking down things that need to be knocked down in our life with the sword of the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Boy, y'all listening tonight, aren't you? You're listening. And so when you're reading the Bible, you got to know who talking, who they're talking to. Now, these were some, Jesus healed a man in the 5th chapter of John, and these Jews with their religion, talking about what day you heal him and all that stuff. And so Jesus said something that applies to a person who don't understand who they are in Christ, even though they're in. In the 39th verse, he says, talking to these Jews, and you know, he says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and there they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. Now, how do this apply to me if I got eternal life already? Yes, but if you mess around with your ignorant self and won't let the Holy Spirit train you and develop you in ignology, that's my word. And then you don't know you got it, but you don't know how to use it. And so you take scriptures and you're running with scriptures and talking scriptures, but you won't let Jesus come out of the scripture to bring the power to pass. Are you following me? So just because somebody got a Bible, two things I'm going to help you with. If you don't know how to rightly divide the word, and if you don't know how to rightly divide yourself, you're in trouble. You can ask the question, where is all this going on at in me? Let me locate this. If it's not, this is not working in my life, I'm not making the progress I should, I'm still in the same spot, where's all this going on? What's working, what's not working? See, you have to ask that question. See, the church don't know nothing about that. See, now we're talking about dimensions. We're talking about realms. Okay? So why is not working? I prayed, why is not working? Why I'm not getting my answer? What blocking me? What stopping me? I know I got it. The book say I got it. But he said, such a scripture, see, maybe you stopped at the scripture. Even though you're a Christian, if you're not taught properly, you think you got it just because you got a scripture. But the life and the spirit in the scripture is what you're looking for. Jesus in the scripture, the Holy Spirit in the scripture, God in the scripture, your answer in the scripture, the power's in there. But the Holy Ghost had to help you get it out. How people can carry a Bible and still be defeated. Come to church, it's the only time you have a little peace. The rest of it is hell, hell, hell. You didn't quote the Bible in every room, nothing changed yet. The demonic rats still running around there, hitting every corner. Because you got to know how to stop them. Why I don't get the answer to my prayer? Why I'm not further than I am now? I'm a good person. Yeah, you're a good person. But that don't make you go nowhere. The gooder you are, the more Satan want to whoop you. All right. So he said, eternity, search the scripture, and them you think you have eternal life, and there was testified me. So you may think you have victory in the scripture, but if you don't let the scripture take you to Jesus, even though you have a right to have it, you're not going to get it. And you can't go with your, watch me. You can't go with your spirit and leave your soul and body hanging out. How can I say this, Lord? When you don't know how to train your soul and your body, they become an enemy to you like Satan. Because you're leaving them out there for Satan to use them. See, Satan can use your soul. Satan can use your body if you don't protect them. They're not saved. He can deceive them. Why good Christian live defeated lives? We need to get a hold of this. We need to change this. The joy of the Lord should be in our lives. We should be winning. Every battle you have should take you to a higher level. What? That sounds backwards, don't it? No, it teach you how to swing better. If you know what you're doing, all right, that's your goal. All right. So now, you can't read 1 Thessalonians 5:23 without having to understand Romans 12:1-3. And I read it backwards. You know that. That's for the third verse. It's faith, then your soul in the second verse, Romans 12:2. Just write it down because I'm not going to talk with it long. I'm going somewhere else. And then Romans 12:1. Okay. I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercy of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, as the first word. Be not conformed to the world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, now in that second aspect, that's dealing with your soul. Notice, your mind and your will, your natural mind. Now, you have the mind of Christ. It's in your spirit. Now, what you want, your mind of Christ and the mind in your soul to become one. And the word of God can bring them together. You follow what I'm saying? See, your mind is the one giving you the trouble. Your spirit not giving you no trouble. So you have to renew your mind. Bring a revival or restoration in your mind with the word of God. Are you following me? Huh? You don't have nothing but mind trouble. The devil can't even stop you. If you get a hold of your mind, that's where you're working at. Can I show you something?
Yes, sir.
May I show you? I can show you. So, John 5:39-40, we just read. I wrote the word, I woke up in the morning, the Spirit of God hovered over my bed, and he says, searching. Everybody is searching. Now, actually, listen to what the Lord said here. Actually, the scripture is supposed to search you. The scripture don't need no deliverance. And you know the Psalm says in 139 Psalm, what he says, search me, O God, know my heart, try me, know my thought. That is, turn to Psalm 139, what? Find it quickly. Because here's a revelation, see? Psalm 139, anybody got it? 13 voice? What voice is it? 23, yeah. What it says, search me, O God, know my heart. There's the two of them right there. See, you don't have heart problem, you got thought problem. You can't have heart problem because your heart is your spirit. It's born again. It's a new creature. It's got the nature of God in it. But he said, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me. And know my thoughts. Something causing me not to be victorious. I read these mighty scriptures. You sent your word to heal me. I'm delivered from the power of darkness. Then translated into the kingdom. My life ain't working with that, Lord. What happening? It's Romans 12, too. You got to keep renewing your mind. You keep putting that word in your mind. And then when you put that word in your mind come alive to the mind that's in your spirit. Your will becomes God's will. You have the mind of Christ in your spirit. See if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. That's the rest of the voice say. See if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. And we get on, what sin you're committing, all that kind of stuff. No, we're trying to get this thing out of us so we can go on with our lives. Everybody ain't running the street. And all that stuff, just preaching about all that, you know. No, look, just listen. Now, study 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15, study. So you got to study. If you're going to sell the case, you're going to have to study. Wait a minute, I'm going to say it another way now. You're going to have to study properly. You already got a bunch of scriptures. Hallelujah. You know, one of the problems, let me tell you one of the problems. I was riding, my wife and I was riding, and a lady left this church some years ago, not long ago, and she went to another church, and she in the choir and everything, you know, she's a nice lady and everything, I ain't got nothing against. But I wonder, did she hear me the years I preached to her? I wonder if y'all listening and taking this stuff in your heart, this revelation that can change your life. You know, I don't want you to be here religiously. Right. And you can just stand, if you could just stand up and walk away from here, you ain't heard nothing I say. Come on. It's too valuable. It's too much insight for you to just swap church. Jesus. So I told my wife said, she didn't hear you. She couldn't have heard you. All the revelation coming out. You just don't leave. You don't just leave a treasure house. And I know where she is. So where she at? I know the minister. I know he not walking in the revelation. I mean, how can she do it? How can she just sit there? She didn't hear me. She went through the routine. I'm just trying to show you not that this don't let this happen to you. Because sometimes I'm not trying to keep you. I'm trying to sweep you. I'm going to see whether you're real or not. Because I ain't got this heyday in my life. I ain't got time to be messing around with nobody. Who don't want it? Just playing church. Ain't got no time for this. I ain't looking for no big church. I'm looking for a real church. Right? Now in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed. What it say at the end? What is it in? What is it in? Meaning what? It could be wrongly divided. And if it's wrongly divided, then Satan got you right where he wants you with the scripture with no effect. See, study to show yourself approved. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman needs not be ashamed, rightly. Did he say rightly? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Why you got to rightly divide the word? Why? Help him fit to ring his bell right now. Why? Go to Hebrews 4:12. If you don't rightly divide the word can't rightly divide you. If you don't rightly divide the word can't rightly divide you, you can't make your contacts you need to make to operate in the supernatural. You got a Bible, you know the verse, you know the chapter, but it's not rightly divided. The Holy Spirit has not really told you what it really is. So therefore, your spirit and soul running along together, your soul running like it with your spirit, but it's not. It's not. You the only one can convert your soul to your spirit. When you study the word of God and the word of God is getting in your soul, you're converting your soul. Where your spirit can be in agreement with it and send through your soul to your body and to your life affairs the supernatural. You cannot do it by spirit alone. So therefore, when the word is rightly divided, when the word become precious to you and not just a commodity, it become the sword of the spirit. Talk about it in Ephesians 6:17 also, don't it? One of the armor of God, the sword of the spirit. So now you are able with the scriptures to know the difference between your spirit, your soul, and your body. And now you can minister to all three and bring them into agreement. At the end of that verse, he knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. He divides your soul from your spirit, from your body. For the word of God is alive. You see what it said? Powerful, sharper. Three things here about it. Then any two-edged sword, piercing, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Second Timothy 3:16. Ain't nobody tell me that I know this word. Yeah, your life lying on you. Honk your horn, you love Jesus, and the bumper coming off. Shoot, I ain't honk no horn at you. Your bumper falling off because honk, I love Jesus. Honk your horn. I just flag him down to my Jesus said, would you take that off your car? You talk to the person, how you doing? Hallelujah, praise God, glory to God, hallelujah. I just spoke, man, come on. Okay, them people want to be spiritual and they're fooling themselves, they don't have no power. He talked like he told it, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Now he was talking to people who wasn't living right, but I'm just, the law of devil reference, a lot of time a Christian have form of godliness and deny the power thereof if they don't know how to rightly divide the word and let the word divide them. See, if you don't rightly divide the word, you're not going to let the word divide you because you already know. But when you rightly divide the word, when that spirit, soul, and body are separated and you find out how bland you are over here and you need to do something about this, just because you go to church and took communion and shout three times, that's not going to give you no victory. You need to know how to walk in his word. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The entrance of thy word giveth light. If you abide in me, my word abide in you, act what you will, and it shall be done for you. Where all this stuff at? Is he telling the truth or what? Who messing up, me or Jesus? See, See? See, if you listen, you don't have to personally be corrected. You can get corrected in a crowd. Just shut your mouth and check the valve. But no, you're going to get hot. He talking about me. How I know about you? You on a night row and never seen you before in my life. He don't be hitting at me. That's the Holy Ghost, baby. Why you won't get mad with me? That's the Holy Ghost trying to straighten something out for you, because the Holy Ghost love you and I love you. Now you're all mad and all jacked up because you think somebody done told me something about you. And that woman that went through it a long time, Marion, been with me 37 years, 40 years, 47 years, 47 years. And Marion, people would tell her stuff. And she was one of the covenant of the church. They'd tell her stuff. And then I come preach by the next Sunday. Marion said, don't tell me nothing no more, because he can't preach. That happened many, many times. But it's the Holy Ghost ministering. I've hit somebody already here tonight. All I had to do is put three more words, I'd have had your whole game. But the Lord, the Lord was merciful on you. All right, 2 Timothy 3:16 now. All scriptures is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, teaching, for reproof. See, reproof. For correction. For instruction in righteousness. Now, if you don't have a man of God that you trust and that you love, you're not going to get none of this. See? Because as soon as they squeeze your little deal, you know, you're going to get hot. Now you're going to look for Reverend so-and-so. Rub your own. No, you got to stay there and be operated on. Pass the test. Praise the Lord. As long as you know the word coming forward, you see what I'm saying? See, everybody need to, we need to go into progress. Because the world is going into regress. They're shooting in California now. They shot and killed 14 people just shooting. You better know what you're doing here. Notice the 17th verse. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. Now, I gave you some good definition on 2 Timothy 3:16 some years back. Doctrine means the established order of God. Doctrine. The established order of God. See? You got to get established. You got to know the established order of God. What is the divine order? I need to align with my situation right now, what I'm dealing with. I don't need just scripture. I need to know what the Holy Spirit, tell me what the divine order is here. All right? Reproof. Reproof means dismantling of erroneous teaching and erroneous thinking. See, as I grow, I see things at a deeper dimension, so I got to come back and kill some of my erroneous teaching and get the erroneous thinking. Error, all right? Ain't working. You put the wrong number in one of them, what the machine call you get that money out of? You put the wrong number and there ain't nothing coming out. All right. Correction. Call correction. You know, people hear that word, correction. And I like that. She was dealing with erroneous things. Because, listen, all failure you having is a soul problem. It's not your spirit. You understand? Is some way you have not trained your soul or fed your soul or renewed your soul, which is your mind, your will, and something else in there they don't talk about, your conscience. Now, there is nutrients in the word. There's spiritual vitamin in the word that can bring your soul where it can walk with your spirit. Thank you for your enthusiasm. That your spirit now can come. When you get your spirit and your soul in agreement, your body have no choice And all your exile outside affairs have no choice, because the spirit and soul is a divine team. Your mindset, what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? You're walking in the will of God. Now you got the mind of the Spirit, the mind of Christ, the mind of God. And now you take that scripture and you talk to that situation. Not a situation. Here, you as God. Y'all cheating me. You speak as a God. But what keeps you from speaking? Your soul got to be renewed. And you got to stay there until revelation of the word. See, I didn't know this. Can get in your soul. I'll tell you like this. I answer all your questions right now. Anything that you're dealing with for a long time, you can't get it to change, your spirit and soul is in disagreement. Ooh, come on, Pastor. And Satan is using your soul against you. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you right now, either you're going to use it or Satan's going to use it. Right. Yes, the body has no choice. See? So the revelation of healing is getting my soul renewed. Pop! The healing be right there. You're concentrating on your body. What are they going to do? Give you a pain? Huh? Or one of the numbers going to read real high? So it's taking you out all the time. Now you can do this. See, you can do this. Take the word of God, sit down the word of God. Now, when you're praying in the spirit, oh my goodness. When you're praying in the spirit, it's not for your spirit. I found that out. You praying in the spirit, you praying for your soul to catch up with your spirit. Your spirit is already up with God. God gave you a spirit equal with Jesus. You don't have a spirit problem. You got a soul problem. You ain't got to worry about the body, because once you get the soul and the spirit together, the body got to carry them in divine harmony. You get a scripture out and pray in tongue over it. Read it again. Write it on the pad. Pick the words out. And all of a sudden God show up and show you. This is what you got to do with that. And a total peace will come on you. You know, nothing physically have changed, but you have a total peace because you got the answer. Huh? See, when you're praying in the spirit, you're speaking mysteries. But you got to ask for interpretation. Here's what I hear. Stop trying to get God to do something and let him do it. Stop trying to get him to do what he already has done for you. Get in a position where it can manifest. I see some of y'all been down so long you ain't even think about getting up. You just said, look at me and say, what are you talking about? Huh? Now, what time is this thing over? What? You in a master moment that can change everything. If you just listen, it just can change everything. When you're fighting a battle wrong, you sure to lose. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principality, power, spirit of the wicked, rulers of darkness. We got to pull down strongholds and cast down imagination. We need knowledge, revelation knowledge. What God said, what he meant by what he said. Sunday school is over. Grow up. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. It's not going to come to you like that. You got to fight. You got to spend hours. God's not going to use your pat scripture all the time. James 1:25. Seeing the word of God, James 1:20, the word of God is a mirror for your spirit. It's a mirror for your soul. It's not a mirror for your body. You listening?
Yes, sir.
I receive. You listening?
Yes, sir.
But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, look what it says. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man, this woman, this marriage, this family shall be blessed in his deed. Shall be blessed. Say it. Shall be blessed. I shall be blessed. Say it. The word of God's on the inside of me. Stop looking on the outside to see how blessed you are. We let this world take us, we go to counting stuff and what we don't have, what we need to have. That's not the real you. Get you straight and everything else is going to come to you. Hebrews 12:2. Look in unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Who was for the joy that was set, endured the cross, this spot in the shame. Where he at now? I saw that word, y'all, throne of God. Hebrews 4:16. I saw that word. Let us therefore come boldly. Where? For what? Mercy. Find what? Help. In a time of need. Philippians 4:19. I heard the word supply. Of Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now you talk to him, my God shall supply. Now go back to Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, who has blessed us, who has blessed us, who has blessed us, come on, who has blessed us with all. See, Philippians 19 come from applying something he told him to apply. Then in Philippians 1, what is one what? But the supply of the Spirit. 1:19. Now I put down, let me rush. I put down koromama shaka. I put down soul connection. I put Hebrew 4:12 again. Make sure you got your soul connected, renewed, and connected with your spirit. See, what we did, we got out of religion, we trash canned the soul. Yeah, we did. We got deep, boy. We got spirit. We're going spirit. We need to renew that mind. You have to know 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. You have to know the spirit of grace or how to apply the spirit of grace. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, But I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. See, everything, now listen, everything, children, I got to keep telling you this. Everything, your salvation, every aspect, prosperity, healing, long life, joy, everything comes from Ephesians 2:8. The way you did that, you do this. The plan haven't changed. By grace are you saved through faith. That's the whole, that's where the whole Bible, everything you see in the Bible got to come that way. The grace is what Jesus did for us, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. He paid for it all. See? Once you taste grace, you're on your way. You'll never drink nothing else. And you apply your faith. The combination of the two. There's your healing. There's your finances. There's your deliverance. There's the deliverance of your child, your grandchild, all right there. You got to do it all through by grace through faith. Hebrews 11:3. Let's see what the Bible says. Through faith we understand the world were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen was not made of things which do appear. Romans 4:17. Abraham was able to have a child by Jesus' faith. When they say, call a thing that be not, that though it was, that's the way God operates. So Abraham teamed up with him. And then in the 21st verse, the Bible says he was fully persuaded. Or the 22nd, that what God had promised, he was. Not me was, he was also able to perform. That's a man operating in God's faith. Now, I can promise you, watch, faith, righteousness, grace, and the promise was in that deal. That's Romans 4:16. You always got to look for those. Look for faith, righteousness, grace, and the promise. God got to swear, and I'll do it for you. He said, I can't swear by no greater name. He tell you don't swear, and he swear. Why could he do that? He God. But he was trying to give you a point that what I said, I'm going to stand behind it. What I'm saying to you, you're living beyond breakthrough. You're unlocking. Once you get the revelation, you can unlock things. You can unlock it. You don't have to be beaten on the door. You got a path. It's your inheritance.
Yes, sir.
All right, let me close. Jesus Christ. So. James 1:21. James, talking about receiving with meekness, receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. What? Well, for lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, we get all tied up in that part, but we miss this part. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. You know why we get tied in the other part? Because we just preach the negative and don't preach what can stop the negative. Because we don't know nothing else. We don't know it's already done. So we got to have something to fuss about, try to keep you out of hell. You ain't going to hell. You saved. I don't want you to be in hell down here. Know how to function, know how to operate. Take back your stuff the devil has stolen from you by operating the word properly. This is not secondhand information. I've done this time and time again. The enemy have attacked, but I attack back. I've stood up here and preached to you sometime I couldn't hardly move over the years. I kept on preaching. Got to preaching and everything left. Anybody can lay down on the bed, say, I can't make it. A hobo can do that. I make you laugh. I was in my RV and I had them boys following me, you know, and I got a power one right by where I drive at. So, you know, I come to the conclusion that I'm going to help those people with out there begging and stuff, but I'm going to check them out. And so I roll my window down. I had a $5 bill. You know, I give him $100, Lord tell me, right? But I know why he told me $5 now, hitting the $5 out there, and I asked him about Jesus. He went to cussing. He said, Jesus bless all of us. I can't tell you what he said. My arm, like a robot. Then he don't know he had three RVs behind me going to follow my suit. He would have hit the jackpot. Because if he'd act right, God had told me to stick $100 out there. But the fire was a test. And he didn't get that. Roll the one up, pull on. He was cussing when I left, though, boy. But he cussed his way out of the money. All right, let me close with this. Living your life up with the Trinity of the Godhead. 2 Corinthians 13:14. Living supernaturally in a total man, your spirit, your soul, and your body. Your spirit is saved, your soul is not saved, your body's not saved. But if you get your soul in tune to God's word with revelation, the spirit will agree with it, and all the power will come through to your body and to your prayer and to all manifestation, your confession, everything you believe in God for. See? Are you following me? And I want, let me say also on the Hebrews 4:12, just make you some side note. Hebrews 4:12, you had to take in consistent word operation. Or let the word put you on the table. Can you understand that language?
Yes, sir.
Consistent word operation. Let that word be a word constantly operating on you. Yes. And it's separating and it's telling you what to do here and what to do there. Hot dog. Mm-hmm. My goodness. Second Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, living your life up with the Trinity of the Godhead. Look at that Trinity there in that 14th verse. Those three things are powerful, man. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And the love of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And the communion of the Holy Ghost. Those three you need working and operating in your life. I got 6 minutes. I'm Baptist. I close 7 times. I preach to somebody get up out of the grave. You cannot permit your soul to keep shifting and drifting. Hebrews 6. Let me read this to you. I'll write it down like the Lord tells me. You cannot permit your soul shifting and drifting, he said. Because now we find out what an important part he played.
Yes,
see. Hebrews 6, verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured.
Yes,
he obtained the promise. After he did what?
Patiently
endured. All right. It says, for men verily swear by the greater, an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirm it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, lay hold upon the hope set before us. Mm-hmm. Verse 19 now. Which hope? We have what? That soul need to be anchored down. It's running around too much. You got to anchor down with revelation. You say, well, I don't have it yet. When we going to do? What we going to do now? Anchor it down. He says, listen, what hope we have as an anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enter into that within the veil. Good God Almighty. And I'll show you four anchors right quick that you can put on your soul. You want them?
Yes, sir.
You ready to go?
No, sir.
Bye. I finally got a smile at her. She looked at me, boy. But she finally smiled. I'm all right now. But I've been looking at her all night. You know why? This stuff new to her. And her heart and her soul trying to catch a hold of it. Because it's going to change our life completely. All right. Turn to 1 Peter 5:10. 1 Peter 5:10. And I got to close now. I'm not going to give you the details of it, but I'm going to show you. Maybe later on we'll get it, the details of it. Well, we'll get there. But the God of all grace, but the God of who?
All grace.
Who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while. Now the suffering there is talking about trying to get out of your flesh and get in the spirit. It's not easy as you think it is, because your senses are always calling your attention to somebody or something. And you're going along, you're not thinking about nothing, all of a sudden here comes this thought. Somebody may be dealing with something themselves, and so they look at you out the eyes of themselves.
That's right.
I wonder why she looking at me like that. The woman got a problem herself. Now you done took the problem on. See, that's how fast your flesh will catch it.
Yeah.
No, y'all act like I don't know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. You know, I'm human too. You know, I live down here. So I know a trick he can pull on you.
Yes, sir.
See. How many of you have ever had a verdict and it was wrong? The rest of you liars, get up there. Come out. You know you done sized something up, or you thought somebody thought something or something like that, or they said something you thought about you, then you find out they wasn't even thinking about you. All of y'all know about that. Y'all know about it. The Reverend White, all of them, everybody know about that. Unless you're living on another planet. Now drop these four anchors. Perfect. Make you perfect. Make you complete, matured. That's what perfect means. Establish you. That's an anchor. Strengthen you. After those three, what happened? What happened? It's selling. Now your soul ain't that jumping all around, coming up with all this stuff. It done locked into your spirit. And now you're a man and woman of faith.
Yes.
Calling things that be not as though they were.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Your authority, your dominion, your joy, your peace, your happiness, all coming up. No matter what's happening, you still got the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You follow me?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Praise Amen. God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Amen.